Shalom, Haverim. That means peace to our friends, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, live on Christian Radio 1220 AM, as well as on the World Wide Web, whkwradio.com. This is John Bartlett, your cheerful co-host with our lively teacher and ongoing student of God's Word, the Reverend Sheila Crawford. And we're so glad you decided to join us tonight. Before we get started, we're going to ask the Almighty to bless tonight's study. And our study, the goal of our study is to encourage and assist the body of Christ to grow deeper into Him with an intense passion, especially because we here at Shofar Ministries really do believe we are in the final days before the calling up of His saints. And we believe that, and we know a lot of you do, and a lot of other people believe that now, but probably not enough. So we'll start tonight with a prayer. Our Father, You're our King, and we bless You. We thank You for tonight's broadcast. We invite Your Ruach, Your Spirit, to open our ears of understanding. We really need to understand what Your precious Word has to say to us in these days. Please, Lord, we just ask that those You have called out of the dead church and into the light of Your living Word, just be enlightened tonight. Let us learn what You have to say to us. And those of yours that are suffering with the flu tonight and that have written us with their prayer requests, we ask that You, in Your mercy, answer them. And we give You tonight's program, Lord. It's Your program, and we give it to You. And we are very grateful and very humbled by being able to participate with You in this ministry. And we bless You in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen.
Amen. I totally agree. Thank you very much, and God bless all the listeners tonight as we continue to discuss Babylon, also described by Jesus to the Apostle John as Mystery Babylon in Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
So we've talked about its origin in Babel by the city of Ur, where, incidentally, God pulled Abraham out of. Why, John?
Why? Because He didn't want him there. Satan's throne was there, actually. Today, the city of Babylon is still called Babylon in the country of Iraq. Right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. It is. And Saddam Hussein tried to actually restore it. Didn't finish,
but he got a good start.
He certainly did.
Got the Ishtar Gate.
And we saw last week how Satan's throne was moved from Babylon to Pergamos.
Yeah. It was kicked out.
Today, that area is in Turkey. It was Asia Minor then, but it's Turkey today. And why was it moved, John?
Well, it was kicked out. The Persians conquered the empire in 539 B.C., and they wanted their own religion there. They didn't want this religion existing there.
Paganism, right.
Paganism. So they kicked them out up to Pergamos, and their religion was I can't pronounce it. Why don't you do it?
Zoroastrianism.
Thank you. That was their religion.
That's right. And if you want to know more about Zoroastrianism, go to the web.
Oh, show off.
A bunch of it's on there.
You're a show off.
Anyway, in 333, Constantine, Emperor Constantine, moved the capital up north to a better location, not far up north, but just a little. It was still in the same area of Turkey, and then was named Constantinople, which is called Istanbul today.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually the Ottoman Turks, in about 1453, took it over, and many Christians fled west over to Rome. The home of Catholicism and the Vatican is still there today. And tonight we will examine the next church prophetically after Pergamos called
Thyatira.
Yes.
And this is in the book of Revelation. And you will join us. And I want to let you know, listeners, our phone lines are open for your end time questions, or you might have a nice pertinent comment for us.
Only nice things.
Nice things. Well, it could be pertinent and could be civil, too.
I know.
The number is 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673.
That's right.
And before we move on, I want to remind you that next Thursday, the 24th, at Lakeshore Assembly of God at 7 p.m., and Lakeshore is in Mentor, Ohio, on 8880 Lakeshore Boulevard. You call it 8880.
I do.
Lakeshore Boulevard. Sheila will be talking on this very subject we are tonight, Babylon. And this is really, Babylon is persisted from the Old Testament all the way to the book of Revelation.
Absolutely.
And it's still here and it's everywhere.
It's everywhere. If you're not a born-again Christian, you're under its influence. Guaranteed,
that's right.
Not a problem.
Yes, it's not a quaint subject. It's a very active and alive subject, and it's important that we understand it. But before we get to that, is there any pertinent news that we should know about?
Yes. Well, President Assad of Syria is holding his own, and it is reported now, and this makes total sense to me, that he and his family are hiding out aboard one of the 16 Russian ships docked in the Mediterranean. Remember last week I said there was about 16 ships that Russia brought over?
Okay, and that might have been one of the reasons that they brought them over?
Yes, I guess. So you certainly wouldn't be able to find them.
No, you'd have to just finding the peanut under the shell, and Assad's a big peanut, I'll tell you. And what about the destruction of Damascus that we used to talk about from Isaiah's a prophecy in Isaiah 17? And we were watching Damascus fall apart before our eyes. So,
And Isaiah 17 gives you the impression that it could happen just before the tribulation, which is what a lot of us thought, or possibly during. But as you read, and I reread some of the other passages like Jeremiah 49, and I think it's pretty clear that Damascus is here in the beginning, at least, of the tribulation.
Okay.
So I don't think we're going to see its destruction
before
the rapture.
Yeah, it's
my opinion, and that's what I think.
That's good. Well, and you can do your own research, of course.
Of course.
Everybody listening tonight, and you know that if you're a new listener, I just want to tell you that we give you the news on every program about the Middle East, and especially how it affects Israel and how that connects to the Bible. So that's why
you're
doing this, if you're a first-time listener. And what about, let's see, here, Israel's having the election next week, right?
A major election next week.
Yeah.
It just happens to be taking place the day after Obama takes the oath.
What oath is he taking? Oh, the presidential oath. And let's see, wasn't this election originally scheduled for the fall?
Israel's?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, it was, but I call him BB.
Netanyahu.
Nehu. Yeah. BB's easier. Moved it up for a couple of reasons. One of those reasons, he kept to himself, and now I know why. Hmm. And I'm going to share that with you in a minute. But the reason he openly said was that he didn't want campaigning to interfere with a possible Iranian attack that BO, Barack Obama, forced him to hold off on, at least until after the elections. Remember all the talk we had before
the election?
Them,
about them attacking Iraq, like a preemptive attack. Okay.
Yeah, everybody thought it was going to happen at any moment.
That's right.
But Obama got them to not do that.
To not do that, okay.
And he says, we'll deal with it right after
the election. Yeah, that's right.
Well,
remember him saying that.
B.O. lied.
He did.
As I don't believe he had any intention of ever taking out Iran's nuclear bomb sites. And that, I think, now it's become pretty clear.
It's becoming very clear.
But according to Debka File, one of the news sources that I read, Iran already, right now, has enough enriched uranium for at least 5 nukes. And it's no secret. January 9th, the Financial Times reported that a stock of 5 tons of unenriched uranium, enough to produce weapons-grade fuel for 5 atomic devices, had gone missing in Syria and may have passed to Iran.
Gee, do you think?
I think.
Yeah.
No doubt, in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But the stock had actually been prepared for the nuclear reactor that Assad was building in eastern Syria before it was destroyed by Israel in 2007. Do you remember that happening?
Yes, I do.
I do.
So they still kept the stuff.
Yeah, and look how easy that was. They did that, and nobody even gave them a hard time about
it. No, they were just defending their country.
Yeah.
That's all.
But information is also based on the British intelligence sources that Debka File gets a lot of information from.
Oh.
But now, Netanyahu.
How about Netanyahu? If you say Bibi, I'll say Netanyahu.
Okay. Has departed from his standard assertion. Do you remember last year he kept saying this government would not permit Iran to acquire a nuclear weapon?
He was saying that.
He was.
Mm-hmm.
Now, lately, he's saying, and I quote, the government which I head has invested billions to prepare the country for the Iranian threat.
Hmm. Well, that rules out a preemptive strike, doesn't it?
Well, you never know. A lot of times they make you think they're not going to, and you never know. But they're not going to do a lot because we know from Ezekiel 38 and 39 that Iran is the big kahuna that comes and, you know, goes after Israel. So they have to have, you know, the ability. So I still say that Bibi will continue to make covert actions, though, to delay the progress any way that he can, even if it's just for, you know, 6 months. He'll do that. But it's all in God's timing, and Ezekiel 38 will happen, but I believe it's during the tribulation. I can picture, now think if you can picture this now. Ezekiel 38's happening, and they're getting ready to attack Israel, and the bombs are coming, the nukes. I can picture the Messiah's arm reaching out from heaven and his hand turning the nuke as it travels through the air back toward Iran.
I could see that.
I just could see that. But the Jews will see something and all will get saved. It says so in Ezekiel 38:23 and Ezekiel 39:22. Okay, so you want to check that out. But anyway, that's around the third year of the tribulation. Then God protects them in the wilderness for the last half in probably the same area as he did in the book of Exodus.
Cool.
Oh, John, he's going to be calling us up so very soon.
And Israel's going to do whatever is necessary to defend themselves. And we won't have to worry about that. And but the thing is that our God's going to fight. Their God's going to fight for them.
That's right. He never slumbers or sleeps.
He never slumbers.
Comes to Israel.
That's right. Well, what were the other reasons that, getting back to what Bibi said?
I thought you'd never ask.
That he didn't talk about. He gave that one reason, but
here's another reason that I believe is true.
Mm-hmm.
Bibi moved up the election so Barack Obama would not have too much time after his election to sway the Israelis not to vote Bibi back in.
Hmm.
Obama really hates Bibi.
Well, they don't get along, that's for sure.
No.
They try to put on a good face for the press, but it doesn't. Sometimes you can see it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, something he couldn't do before, Obama, because he had fear of losing Jewish votes over here. So he didn't want to act, you know, like too negative against Bibi.
Hmm. Okay.
But now, for the last couple of weeks, he is hurrying to do that by certain comments giving the Israelis the idea that if they reelect Bibi, America just might not be able to work with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because Bibi is taking the country down.
Oh, I know. This is terrible to listen to this rhetoric.
Now, unfortunately, there are many who think without the United States as an ally, Israel is doomed.
Mm-hmm.
Here's an example of what Barack Obama has been saying.
This is off the record stuff?
No, this is I quote.
Okay.
Israel doesn't know what's good for it. And, of course, that has something to do with the settlements.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And he says Netanyahu is moving Israel down the path toward near total isolation.
With his self-defeating.
With his self-defeating policy.
That's very offensive, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very offensive, arrogant thing to say.
Well, again, he's trying to get the Israelis not to vote him back in, making them think that he will not support them if Bibi gets back in.
That's right, because he wants a liberal government.
Yes, he does.
Israel.
He would love it if Livni, which is the lady
if her
of
part,
the left, gets in.
Yes.
Barack Obama has also given some interviews showing his disdain for Bibi. What's interesting is now Bibi's opponents on the left are using the fact that if Livni is elected, she will make sure the United States backs everything they do. She's even got this in writing.
Hmm.
And every decision that they make, the United States will be behind.
Hmm.
So you can see that BO will try to do even more before next Tuesday. Watch the news, you'll see. He does not want Bibi to win, and he will do everything he can.
Well, we'll definitely be monitoring that. Even so, God's already decided who's going to win.
And isn't it wonderful to be able to trust him in everything?
Yes.
You know?
Yes, and whoever wins, we'll announce that. right here.
Yes, it's going to be next Tuesday, and we'll be on right after. We should find out.
We should. And if Netanyahu does win, do you think he'll stand up to Barack Obama?
I think more so than before, yes.
Interesting.
I think he will. It's not going to do him a lot of good because you've got the international community. You know, everybody is against him.
Well, we have a president that has us on the fast track to the end times, I think.
Yes. And King Abdullah of Jordan says he is working with European countries to restart the long-stalled negotiations between Israel and the Palestinians. And that's very interesting because many scholars believe the Antichrist will come out of Europe. And I've always said at least he will come out of the old Roman Empire.
And there was some reason to believe that he may come out of Jordan, I think you had said at one
time.
Yes,
and that was part of the Roman Empire
as
well.
And that was part of, yes. Okay, how about Benghazi? Now, there was the that was a terrible thing that happened, and there's more news on that?
Not much. There's still some troubles with ongoing terrorism over there, though. An Italian foreign minister's car was shot at least five times. Now, he's thankful he was in a bulletproof armored car, but I did hear yesterday that Hillary is finally supposed to testify next Wednesday, but I don't believe we'll hear much different.
It'll be the same old baloney that we've heard from the start on this story, but, well, anyway, that ties up the news for tonight, and we will keep you updated, and when you join us next week, we'll have some new stuff for you that you'll...
Probably. Every day, something's going on.
I tell you, every day and every week, it's all we can do just to squeeze it in here to tell you about it. Now, we've had some real intense studies these past few weeks, but tonight, it's going to be even more so, I understand. Once again, we encourage you to go to our past programs to catch up, and you can do that on the Internet. Just go to shofarministries.net. And if you can't wait to do that, just call us right now. You can call us. We're live right now, and the phone number is 888-677-WORD.
That's right. We've been looking at how Babylonianism or paganism crept into the church a long time ago and still plays a big role in the church today. That is, with the descendants of Thyatira, which began in Pergamum and then flourished in this next church around 606 AD, and as I said, remains very much alive and well. So, actually, you know that it didn't take very long after God judged the wicked people the first time in the flood that the grandson of Ham...
And Ham was the youngest son of Noah.
He was.
Yes, and with a name like that, you knew something probably not good was going to happen.
Yes, and Ham did have a somewhat contemptible, is that how I say it?
Yeah.
Streak.
Yeah, he did. He did.
He really did.
And that's why the pig was probably deemed unclean.
Oh, because he was named Ham?
Yeah. Ha ha, I know. I'm sorry. It's a bad joke.
You threw that in there on me.
I did.
Anyway. The grandson of Ham was named Nimrod, and he was even more contemptuous, for he was full of pride and actually thought that he could build a tower into the heavens. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming wanted to be like God, who did not like it. And so God confused their language, so it sounded like babble talk.
Like babbling on and on, and that's where we get the name Babylon.
We do. And has come to be known as where Satan's seed of spiritual adultery began. His throne, so to speak, that moved out when Persia took over the empire in 539 BC, as we already said. Moving it to Pergamos. Now, Jesus made mention of this fact to the church in verse 13 to Pergamum.
And it says, I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is.
Right. And if you didn't know any history, you wouldn't understand why all of a sudden Satan's throne is in Pergamos.
Is in Pergamos, right.
Yes.
It's good to know the history.
Yeah, we do need to be able to study a little bit of that.
Yes.
So there was much demon activity there, and a statue to the goddess Diana, who took the title Queen of Heaven from Semiramis. And my thoughts are that the Antichrist will have a throne at some point, at least by the end of the tribulation, in Babylon as well, as a tribute to his spiritual father,
hmm.
where anti-God all began, because whatever name you call it, anything away from worshiping only the true God of Jacob is Babylonianism or paganism. Some call it New Age today, but there's nothing new under the sun. And remember, God says he alone is to be worshipped. No additions, no compromising.
And he's serious about that. So what you're saying is, if you're calling yourself, if you're a Buddhist or a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness, and you're saying that you're good and you'll be able to get to heaven because you're a good Buddhist or a good person or a good Mormon, that's really, this idea comes from
the root of Babylon.
The root of Babylon.
Absolutely, and they are saying it. Everybody's saying it.
They are saying that. They're saying we all worship the same God.
Mm-hmm.
And we say, nay, nay, nay,
nay
don't
nay,
we?
Nay.
No, we're not.
But anyway, they all use a works mentality. And I say that because Thyatira compromises the true gospel by adding works.
Mm-hmm.
And also, in a sense, other gods, as will be apparent as we continue tonight's study.
Hmm. Good.
But as I said last week, Nimrod and his wife Semiramis claimed she had an immaculate conception of a son named Tammuz, and in Ezekiel 8, we see the women weeping for the dead Tammuz, and God was livid over it, and we see in Ezekiel 9 that God sent judgment. This mother-child Babylonian cult was a false fulfillment of what Satan heard in the Garden of Eden.
And that's in Genesis 3:15.
Semiramis was called the Queen of Heaven, who later was transferred to represent Mary, as the Catholics called her, and still do, the Queen of Heaven. I have a Catholic Bible at home that has a picture of Mary, and underneath it says the Queen of Heaven.
So we have that the Babylon rebellious paganism right here today.
The root, yes.
The root of it, yes.
We have to remember it's the Bride of Christ who's going to be the Queen of Heaven. And Mary will be a part of that, for she needed a Savior as well and called her Son her Savior in Luke 1:47. And then, of course, we have Jeremiah 7:17, where God says to Jeremiah,
"Do you not see what they do? The women need dough to make cakes for the Queen of Heaven, that they may provoke me to anger."
Absolutely. And we touched on that last week, but
God's very serious about that.
Yeah.
Very serious about that. And especially, they were actually trying to serve God and do this simultaneously. And he didn't want them mixing it up.
Yes.
Yes.
Semiramis set up her son as the first Pontifex Maximus.
Good for you. That was good.
Or Supreme Pontiff.
Mm-hmm.
And this person is known today as the Pope.
Well,
and you can read about that in The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop. And it's actually on page 51.
You can find that on Amazon.
Yes,
as well
you can.
As
well,
everything
anywhere.
Else in the world, I think.
Yeah.
The Pontifex, Pontiff means bridge, I guess. And he is referred to as the bridge between man and God.
Oh,
that's
okay.
A pretty...
Well, they do say he's infallible.
I know.
That's mm-hmm. not good.
Yeah.
Okay, so many varieties of this are found throughout the years and in different places using different names, like in Egypt, where the names of the gods were Isis and Osiris,
mm-hmm.
who they say was born on December 25th. So then I would think that all the sons were celebrated birthdays on December 25th, depending on what nation you were in.
Oh, you mean all the virgin-born sons?
Like the Tammuz,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, the claimed virgin-born.
Because they all are the same, they just changed the names.
Yeah, they're the same gods, and I actually believe these were real fallen angels and were actually entities that could be seen and talked to at one time.
It could be.
At one time,
absolutely.
And the legends of them persisted throughout history. And I think they're really, just because we say they're idols, I think they're really gods,
mm-hmm.
with a little G.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
But we have Aphrodite and Adonis in Greece and Asheroth, Astarte, and Moloch. He was an interesting character because he came through as actually a bull if he was male, but he could also be a female, and in that case, he would be an owl. So, anyway, it's crazy, and you go nuts trying to figure it all out. You don't need to. But then there was Baal, of course, that we're very familiar with in the Bible. And in India, I thought this was interesting, the mother and child were called Devaki and Krishna. Now, haven't we heard that name before?
Yes, we have.
Yeah, I thought so.
We've heard it many times.
And the woman was also called Ishtar, and that's where we get Easter. And in Ephesus, she was called Diana. And it just goes on and on and on.
Different names for the same
false
gods. Then they all stem from that. From this threesome, actually, from Babylon. And that, to remind you, the seed of Satan or Satan's soul.
That's right.
That was moved to Pergamos.
That's right. So we've been looking at the prophetic application of the seven churches who were literal churches at that time, and when taken in the order that Jesus said, covers the church age from the beginning church at Ephesus in around 33 AD through today. Ephesus means darling, okay? Started gung-ho and on fire, and then slowed down and lost that first love of excitement and passion. And then around 100 AD, the church at Smyrna comes along, was terribly persecuted, 5 million martyred at least, so its name actually means myrrh, which was an embalming spice, and that makes total sense.
It does.
So, but then the compromising begins, and in 312 AD, it's described in Pergamos, and we covered that last week. Yeah. What does its name mean?
Pergamos means mixed marriage.
Now, how fitting is that?
I know.
That's when the compromising started, and they were mixing
paganism in with the real stuff.
That's right. So, paganism was now welcomed when the church married the world, dictated by Emperor Constantine due to a vision of the cross. He decided to make Christianity the whole empire's accepted religion. And to entice the pagans to convert, he agreed to compromise. Of course, he never really left his paganism. He kept pretty well.
That's pretty well documented.
Yeah. And, of course, he allowed the deities and holidays, but he did Christianize them a little bit while removing the Jewishness of Christianity.
And that's the sad part.
He made December 25th the birth of Jesus to coincide during the week of the winter solstice, as well as the birth date of the sun of all the goddesses.
That we just talked about.
That's
like
right.
Osiris and Mithra. Or Mithra, yeah, Mithra. We didn't talk about her.
I think last week we might have mentioned that was the religion of Mithraism.
Okay.
Never heard of it.
Okay.
It was in the book.
But what
anyway.
Other changes happened because of this, because of Constantine?
Oh, yeah, Passover became Easter. Even the King James Version changed Passover to Easter when you read it.
Yeah.
I think it was an Acts. But they changed Teshuvah in the fall, which was the 40-day season of repentance, to Lent in the spring. They added rules. They changed the Queen of Heaven, Semiramis' name, to Mary. They introduced the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Actually, they didn't introduce it. They just made it bigger.
Oh,
and
they reinforced it. Yeah.
The rule over the people, which means the priests and bishops, and certainly the Pope was better than the normal
than
people.
Than the laity, yeah.
And that all stems from pride, and of course we know where that comes from.
Yes, we do.
They continually got stronger. Yeah. And
they made it right into the next church, didn't they?
They flourished, yes. At Thyatira. It had the first temple of an imperial cult built there and had emperor worship to Domitian. And that, of course, followed Titus.
Yeah, the mission was Titus' son, I think, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
And anyway, Titus was the one that actually burned down the temple in 70 A.D.
And also made off with the menorah or the lampstand, I think.
Destroyed many synagogues and burnt all the Jewish writings, or as many as they could.
Wow.
Not all. Some were hidden up there in the caves at Qumran.
So would you say this Babylon-type church we have now, it's just summing this up, it is something like a Constantinian version of Christianity instead of a biblical version of Christianity?
Well, absolutely. They're compromising.
Okay.
Definitely. But what's interesting is the first three churches now, Ephesus, Smyrna, and Pergamos, prophetically now, mm-hmm. are past tense. They were not given the blessed hope of Jesus' return only because they would not see Jesus' return.
They would not. They wouldn't make it to that age.
Right.
Right. Well, we're in that
they're
age,
past though. Tense.
They're past tense.
Smyrna was just encouraged to see it through to the death, mm-hmm. and were never told they'd be delivered from it.
Hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a different thing. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the fourth church now, and we're going to see for the very first time the tribulation is warned of.
Good.
It's not in the other three, but it starts off with this one.
Okay, great. Well, stay with us. We're going to take a short break here. We're going to listen to a song that I wrote and recorded a while.
Yes, and we haven't played it in a
while.
We
haven't played it in a while, so we'll go ahead and do that now, and then we'll come back. So.
Keep me in all of your paths, Lord, and make your ways known to me. Keep me as close as the dew is to the grass, as the sand is to the sea. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Your word is like a fountain, and it feeds the river of life. It gives grace to all the living, and it gives me joy inside. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I see your face, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. One of your sheep, Lord, and I'll no longer stray, and I'll feed with the flock in your pasture, and I'll do all that you say. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, I won't have to die. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly. And with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly.
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. That song was Sparrow in the Meadow.
Oh, and it was so nice.
And that was a song the Lord gave me quite a few years ago.
Yes.
I think it was about 5 or 6 or maybe even more than that. I hate to think. But
Rapture's going to happen.
Rapture's going to happen, and I was into Johnny Cash at the time. I wrote mm-hmm. that song, so you might have could tell that. I don't
yeah,
know.
I think maybe.
Yeah, maybe so. Do you have a question for Sheila, or would you like her to speak at your church or group? You can just email her at Sheila at shofarministries.net, or just call the office, 440-834-9006. And some important reminders, your donations are still tax deductible, at least this year, and we are very vital, and they are very vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. We really appreciate your gifts. Send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021, or use PayPal on our website. All donations automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter list. So include your address, either email or house address.
And again, email is easy for me because then you can just print out your own copy and share with others or just forward to someone you care about. But do share the information, especially the many gold nuggets. It often contains some great teachings, and they are also all archived on shofarministries.net.
That's true. And, of course, if you do get the printed copy, you can always, when you're done reading it, leave it for someone else.
That's right.
Yeah. Be sure to check out the webpage where all our newsletters and previous radio shows are archived, and you may order teaching DVDs there as well. Okay, the phone lines are open. The numbers for your messianic eschatological questions. That was a mouthful. 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. The Shofar Ministries Hour is live right here on AM 1220, Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Why not recommend this program to a friend? Also, if you live in the Cleveland area, mark your calendars for every Friday, the first Friday of every month, because that's where we are. Sheila and I are at Chester Christian Center at 11815 Chillicothe Road. That's Route 306. We start there at 7. And maybe remind you, too, Thursday the 24th, she will be at Lakeshore Assembly at 8880 Lakeshore Boulevard at starting at 7 p.m. and talking about probably what we're talking about tonight.
Yes. Definitely.
Which is Babylon.
And
we left off with the church at Thyatira, the fourth church.
That's right. And again, this is the first time that we're going to see the tribulation being warned of. So, in fact, the last four churches, although added one at a time through the years, are all still here till the end, today.
Mm.
They're still here.
Okay.
Now, we know that one is going to be removed. That's the church at Philadelphia. That's the real born-again Christian church. And that's the church you want to be in.
Mm-hmm.
Then,
yes, you do.
The ones that are left, the rest, will be combined and actually will be called the One World Religion or Mystery Babylon, represented by the woman on the beast. The reason it will be called the One World Religion, and we're seeing it already, if you're not truly a born-again Christian, then you're in the camp that believe all faith gets you to God by being a good person.
And that's the description of the One World Religion, right?
That's right. It is. Yes. So you're either really saved or you're not.
Mm-hmm.
There's no in between.
There's no gray anymore, actually.
No.
It's very black and white now.
But we're getting to be fewer in number than I think the world, especially.
Yeah, I think so. Well, it's a popular notion these days to think that everyone's God is the same God as the God of the Bible, but it's really not. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God whom we serve and who's sent His glorious Savior, our Redeemer, Yeshua, His Son. He's the one that is really our true God.
Well, and if you read the Bible, you know that. You can't go by what you think or feel or what you think should be right. You need to have a source of truth that's factual, reliable, and been proven true.
That's true.
And that's where we get our Bible. Now, if someone else wants to show me proven truth, I'll listen.
Yes. Even our producer, if he wants to do that.
Yeah, amen. Anyway, so we are going to read the Church of Thyatira here in a second, and I want you to notice that the Lord assumes His supreme title, Son of God.
Hmm.
Now, to the first three churches, He revealed Himself in attributes that would stimulate faith and call for dependent trust. But now we see judgment with flaming eyes.
Yeah, He's obviously angered.
Mm-hmm. But He starts out by giving them some good points first.
First, yeah.
So let's read it.
Okay.
To the angel of the church in Thyatira, write.
These things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass.
Okay, now the fire and the brass is always a picture of judgment.
Right.
So it starts off right away.
I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience, and as for your works, the last are more than the first.
Yeah, they are actually putting more emphasis on the works.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they're compromising their faith from faith only and adding a lot of works and penance and all that kind of stuff.
I see what you did. Okay. Now, verse 20, nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols.
Now, we're going to talk about Jezebel in a minute and actually what she did in 1 Kings. But basically, they kept their paganism, and that is spiritual adultery.
Mm-hmm. Verse 21, and I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. She's talking about Jezebel there.
And still hasn't, basically.
Right. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds.
That's right. Tribulation is that final 7 years of judgment.
Mm-hmm. Verse 23, I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works.
And, of course, we know at the great white throne, that is where all the unsaved people are judged according to work, mind you.
Yes.
And that's very plain. And the other thing I want to mention, too, is that during the tribulation, there will be children from unsaved parents that will be in the tribulation as well. And part of the judgment is for parents to see their children suffer.
Mm.
And it's really awful. You need to be saved. Make sure you're saved and go on with the Lord.
And this is to the churches. What makes you think that, you know, when Titus invaded Jerusalem and invaded Israel, and millions were slain, and the temple was totally destroyed. What makes us think in this present age as a church that if we disobey God and go whoring after pagan gods, what makes us think that we're going to somehow get away with it?
No, it'll all come out in the wash.
Yes, it will. Now, I'll continue verse 24. Now to you I say, and to the rest of in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden. But hold fast to what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. And I want to check that. I don't know if it's words or works. Keeps my words to the end. I believe it's words.
Oh, yeah, check that. It's verse 26. I think I have it right here.
Oh, good.
And he who overcomes and keeps... No, it's works.
It is works.
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't absolutely sure, but I wanted to be.
You want to keep his works till the end.
Okay.
To him I will give power over the nations. And, of course, that's with Christ. We're going to rule with him. And, again, the One World Church, this was before the Reformation. So there was probably people that really were saved.
Hmm.
Just couldn't leave, really, when it's the only one around. But we'll see, especially next week, that some did.
Hmm. Okay. Verse 27, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron.
Yes, he shall. And we know that by other scriptures, one of them being Psalm 2, verses 8 and 9. And in Revelation 19:15, when he comes back, where all eyes see him, the second coming, not the rapture, but second coming, it says in verse 15, now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God.
They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels.
Yeah.
Wow. As I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. Now, this is to him who overcomes, correct?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
In Revelation 22:16, he says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star.
So that's the morning star.
Yes.
Yes. Verse 29, he who has an ear, let him hear, which means to understand what the Spirit says to the churches.
Yes, the word for hear is akouo, and it actually means to understand. So it's not enough to just listen and let it go through one ear and out the other. You need to understand what the Spirit says to the church.
That's true. You do have to understand. And I'll tell you, it's easy to lose your concentration and have something go in one ear and right out the other. It happens.
Especially in this day and age.
It really is.
It really is.
Yeah, you have to plug up one of your ears like that.
Well,
I do.
You know, not only that, everywhere you go, there's music playing everywhere, and it's loud, and it's like you don't get no quiet time.
There is no quiet time,
you don't
it seems
even know
like.
How to
yeah,
listen.
Every little space seems to be filled with something.
Yeah.
And it's usually an advertisement.
Yep. But in 606 A.D., Thyatira, which means continual sacrifice, they implemented the Mass.
Oh.
And that is sacrificing Jesus every single time they do a Mass.
Hmm.
It kind of represents the denial of the completed work that Jesus did on the cross.
So 606 A.D. is actually the date of the first Mass?
Well, that's when Thyatira really went into full force.
Oh, I see.
Somewhere around in there.
Somewhere around in there.
These things started,
okay.
Yes.
And it still it replaces and denies the work, the finished work of our Savior.
Finished work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that
okay.
You need extra. They exalt Mary, calling her the Queen of Heaven. And again, this is the name given to the false goddesses. They've declared her the Mother of God the Father.
Oh, boy.
They've just really taken it to extremes. They made her divine, declaring her born and lived without sin.
That's the Immaculate Conception.
Mm-hmm.
That is some conception, I'll tell you. I don't know who conceived of that, but that took a lot of imagination.
Yeah. Well, she was a virgin, but she did then have relations with Joseph,
mm-hmm.
and they had other children.
They sure did.
And the Vatican Council in 1870 actually said that Mary remained a virgin forever.
And
so these are wrong things. This is not biblical.
This is not biblical, but it's exactly like Babylon. It's exactly like the Babylonian false religion.
Yes. And actually, I said I was going to mention what Jezebel did in 1 Kings 21,
oh.
Which is why Thyatira is a type of Jezebel.
Well, that's Nebaoth's vineyard. And that King Ahab, who was acting pretty wickedly at the time, he wanted it. Mm-hmm. And I think Jezebel found a deceitful
way. They were husband and wife.
Husband and wife. Jezebel said, oh, don't worry, honey. I'll get it for you. And she actually set up the owner of that field.
Right.
And he had
she
to go.
She killed him.
Oh, they did it all legally, though. They made it look real legal. They went to court, had a false witness, and killed him.
That's right. And then they were able to take the land.
And where has this happened in history elsewhere?
Well, we have, of course, the many inquisitions of the first one world church.
Right.
You know, Spanish inquisitions, Roman inquisitions, all of them, where they decided that they wanted this land. They would make false claims to steal it, call them a heretic. They did it to the Jews if they wouldn't convert. They either had to leave their land or they were killed.
That's right.
Catholics were forbidden to have any association with a Jew in fear of his life, and definite excommunication where their name was taken out of the roster book.
Wow. Now, see, how could they accept that if somebody said I could have no relation or communication with a Jew? My Savior's Jewish.
I know.
That's terrible.
And we're going to expound on this more, of course, next week, as we're going to even get into the spiritual side of Babylon or Mystery Babylon and get into Revelation 17, 18 and that kind of thing. But the political figure and Pope Leo the Great saved the annihilation of Rome twice and was also called the Pontifex Maximus. But the same name they called Tammuz, by the way, they called him that as well.
Wow.
And then, of course, we saw a split that came between the Eastern Orthodox, which only used pictures after that, no statues,
mm-hmm.
and Rome in the West.
And that was a big split.
That's
right.
Do
you know why they split?
I do. And a lot of it was over communion. And it still exists to this day. And we're going to talk about that more next week because we're going to have to.
We're not running out of time, are we?
We are.
Where did all that time go? Wow.
So, but intense subject. And I just want to make one quick mention. Please, I'm not trying to do bad by, you know, your faith. If you're a Catholic, all I want you to do is to wake up and do your own homework. Understand that maybe it's not the place for you. If you're truly a born-again Christian, mm-hmm. I think it's time to search elsewhere.
Time to move on, maybe.
That's right.
Maybe. Okay. Well, let me ask you, is Jesus Lord over your life or your whole life? Do you only have the head knowledge of him and you don't really know him personally or have a heart conviction? You know, sin is real and the effects are real. All you have to do is get on your knees right now and repent and ask him into your life. And recommit your life or commit your life to your Savior. Remember, it's always your choice to choose where you want to spend eternity. God sends no one to hell. You decide yourself where your soul goes, and your soul never dies. Right?
Right.
It's eternal.
You've got to go somewhere.
Yeah. So you decide.
That's right. And then fulfill the Great Commission. Tell as many people as you can about Jesus Christ, how he died for your sins and took the curse to the cross of staying here for the tribulation. You won't have to be here.
That's right. We're going to leave you tonight with the erotic blessing, as we always do. Yevarecha ka Adonai v'yishmarecha, ya'er Adonai panav v'lecha v'hunecha, yisa Adonai panav v'lecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Join us again next Tuesday at 8 p.m.
And until then, sha'alu shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, Jerusalem, shall prosper.
Not maybe.
Psalm 122, verse 6.
See you next Tuesday.
Shalom.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.